Part, and maybe I think it's exactly the right time because we have a lot to get through. Every time I think we're, and then I see there's so much, but we'll see, whatever we get through, it's all good. So we are moving on in the Aseres HaDibros last, and I always apologize, but I really mean it because it is a bit of repetition, I know,
repetition especially. Repetition is good, Ms. Girardi, because
so.
We forget from 1 week. It's always good to have revision and repetition.
All right, I hope so. But it's also the different mefarshim, a lot of them say similar things. So it does end up, but it's just each one with its own little angle that enhances it. So we're in the middle of the Kibbud Aveim. Last week we did, and Emirtz Hashem. We'll go through the rest of the mefarshim that we didn't finish last week. On your sheet that you have in front of you, this, as organized as I could be, we have numbers, so at least we'll be able to find where we are. So we did do some of them. We did number 1 and 2 last week. We did others, but we didn't do number 3. That's what I have. So I'm going to do number 3, and we'll see what... Yes, exactly. It's on that first page. It's the Al-Sheikh. Mine is. So the Al-Sheikh. And he tells us about Kibbud Aveim, where it comes, as we mentioned, we spoke quite at length last week about whether it's between man and God or it's between man and man, because it's on the first side of the Aseres HaDibros, and how it all works. So the Al-Sheikh gives us again another insight to understanding the depth of this mitzvah. What's so deep about it, especially we say... Hello. Hi. Especially as we say, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
And I grabbed yours, so I got to find mine. Okay.
Not really. I walked out of the house without the keys.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Your door.
Yeah, no, there's no. There must be a place here for you. Come, and there's sheets here. And,
yeah.
Oh. Is there no more?
Oh,
my God.
Is this
mine? It's only one.
I want to ask you a question.
When you eat and then you there's that random sugar for this remember. When do you say that? When you eat an apple,
yes.
Say it then. Every time you eat
an apple, but it has to be a certain amount, right? That's the thing.
Okay,
so
a kazan, which is I can eat
30 grams.
So even if you have
but a few strawberries. One strawberry wouldn't be enough. But a few strawberries,
Because that's my new year.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. You know what? It's not easy, but it's actually good consciousness. Amazing. It's amazing. So as long as you have the right amount, like 30 grams, 1 ounce, then you can make the broth. Okay, so let's go. We really just started. Okay, so number 3. I'm sorry if I don't have enough sheets. I hope so. Number 3. So the Al-Sheikh tells us like this. Nice to see you.
It's nice to see you.
And hello. No problem. So good to see you. Okay, let's see. So number 3, we have a few of this one underlined. So we'll do what's underlined there. So it says like this, because in the Aseres HaDibros, we'll see today a little bit more about that. Not only are each one of them special and unique and, you know, tons to learn and understand, but also the way, the order, what comes before which one, how it flows, also which one goes corresponding, we'll see today. But the one that comes before Kibbud Aveim, as we knew, was Shabbos. Seemingly disconnected totally, what's the connection between Shabbos and Kibbud Aveim? The truth is something fascinating. Not only in the Aseres HaDibros do they follow each other, but there are a few other places, like in Mara, do you remember we learned about this, that in Mara, before they came to Har Sinai, Hashem gave them a few mitzvahs. And according to most opinions, the mitzvahs that Hashem gave them were Shabbos, Kibbud Aveim, and what was the third one? There was a third one.
Paraduma?
I don't remember, but the third one. So there was 3, but it was definitely Shabbos and Kibbud Aveim. So again, Shabbos, Kibbud Aveim coming together. What's the connection? So let's see how the Al-Sheikh will tell us. So he says like this, V'zacharti lecha inyan sheishes yamim asa Hashem. He says that, I remember that in 6 days Hashem created the world. U'biyay mashvi, and we know on the 7th day he rested. Shehu leman tiskar, why? So that we should remember. Kishisa alfei shnei havei alma, that there will be 6 6,000 years. You know, remember we mentioned the Ramban has this whole thing that the world has a cycle of 6,000 years corresponding to the 6 days of creation. Why is it important for us to remember? Because what's the purpose of the creation of the world? Not the 6,000 years, but the 7,000. That's what we're working towards. The time of perfection, the time of Olam Haba. That's representing the Shabbos day, so to speak. Amar Atos, and now he says, V'loy alin yonei ha'olam haza, and our focus shouldn't be on matters of this world. That shouldn't be our priority. Amar Atos, so therefore it says now, Kabe desavicha, to honor our parents, our father, Loymar, im haya kol in yonecha toiv ha'olam haza, loy haya lecha lechabed avicha v'imecha. If the whole purpose and everything about you was just to have good in this world, then you wouldn't necessarily be honoring your father and your mother. Ki hine hitzaru lecha sheheviucha meha'olam ha'elyon el'olam ha'hefsed halaz. Because if you want to really be honest, and if you look, it's a very interesting way of thinking, but if you look at the pleasure, the immediate pleasure, then what you will look at is you will realize, what did your parents do? They plucked you out of the most beautiful place that you were in before. Your neshama was there in front of Hashem, brought you down to this world of emptiness, this world of nothingness, this pointless world. So in a sense, they really caused you tremendous pain. So if your focus is a very limited focus, then in a sense, when you look at your parents, you say, well, they just caused me tremendous pain. Why should I honor them? Without realizing, let's see how the Al-Shech continues this train of thought. He says, okay, so he says, but after you have been let know, so in other words, after you are aware that you should actually model your creator, how? Through Shabbos, and not only will you model him, but you will also, but you will also cleave to him and come close to him, by making the future world your main priority. In other words, the spirituality, the eternity becomes what's important to you. So therefore, who are you emulating? God. God becomes your focus. Then what happens? Kisa sekema seyu, you are doing exactly as he has done. He created the world in 6 days for the point of the seventh. You will live your life the 6 days in order to achieve the seventh, the completion, right? All of the perfection of the world. And he says, liyais imay la'ilam haba, to be with him in the world to come. And therefore, in kein ro'i v'chivhu l'cha, then it's for sure worthy, and it's an obligation that you should honor your parents. Not because of this world, because in truth, and he says it afterwards in a different way also, in truth, why should you honor your parents? And this is what he comes to after, because in truth, they plucked you out from the higher world, but they brought you into this world. In this world, now you can model God. In the higher world, you're just there in, you know, having the pleasure being in front of God. But here you're accomplishing the way Hashem accomplishes, which is to bring him, to reveal him in this world. Now what you are doing is you are working towards the world to come. That's why it says, Leman yarichon yamecha, if you honor your parents who brought you and enabled you to live this life with this purpose, and as long as you have this purpose in mind, how do you have this purpose? The Al-Shech says, if you keep Shabbos. You see, if you don't keep Shabbos, then what happens? You forget about the fact that there is 6 days and a seventh, that there's 6,000 years and a seventh, and you think only of the now. But if you think of the future, then you will honor your parents, because they enabled you to, so to speak, help Hashem and help yourself to come to the world of eternity. And that's why it says, Leman yarichon yamecha. It doesn't mean in this world. The long life is referring to the life of eternity in the world to come. Not just for yourself, but for the perfection of the whole world. That's what you're accomplishing. So it's actually a little bit of a jump in the way he's thinking. The Alshech afterwards, I want to share with you orally, says it even simpler. He says it in a different way, but even simpler. He says, if a person doesn't keep Shabbos, what's the connection between Shabbos, so to speak, and honoring your parents? Because he says the whole point of your parents bringing you into this world is to enable you to do a mitzvah, right? That's why you've come into this world. In this world, with a neshama in a body, that's how you can do the mitzvahs. When you do the mitzvahs, you connect to Hashem. You cause a tremendous elevation, both for yourself and for the world. So he says, Shabbos is the idea of remembering that there is a God, obviously, that consciousness. So you have your neshama conscious, right? That's what you're aware of. Your parents gave you your body. Who do you give the priority to Hashem? But what enables you to serve Him? Your body, which your parents gave you, which means that that will for sure make sure that you will honor your parents, not dishonor, so to speak. The reason why you might think why I shouldn't honor them is, what did they do already? They only gave me the physical. But no, it's through the physical world and the physical body specifically, which they gave you, that you are able to serve Hashem. So it actually becomes a package deal. In a sense, that's why Kibbutz Avaim, according to the Alshech, is both. It is between man and man, and between man and God. And in a sense, the only way to do Kibbutz Avaim properly is if you look at it as between man and God. Because if you realize that it is your parents giving you your body, through whom? Through Hashem, so to speak. They were also created by Hashem. That's another thing that he says very beautifully, and I'll tell you in a minute. But the fact is that they give you the body, Hashem gives you the neshama, together you have your whole self, and you're able to serve Hashem. And obviously, what is eternal? Not the body, but the neshama. But the neshama needs the body in order to serve and to do all the mitzvahs. So together, you have the perfect, so to speak, combination, Hashem and your parents. But then he says something very interesting. He says, sometimes a person might make a wrong cheshbon. They think like this. There's three partners in creation, we say. That's also one of the things about honoring, how it's honoring Hashem, right? There's a father, a mother, and Hashem. So a person might think, well, the parents are the majority, right? In Torah, we say we go after the majority. So who should we honor more? Our parents. And God should be secondary, because he's only one third. Parents, two thirds. Hashem, one third. So the Alshech says that's a very superficial way. As soon as you stop and think for a moment, who created your parents, your grandparents, where do they come from? Obviously, from Adam and Chava originally, they're the creation of God himself. So if you start to think back, which is what Shabbos is all about, that Hashem created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested, he created the world means he created Adam and Chava. So your parents are, so to speak, how are they here? Only through God. So it's not two against one. It's all three are really God, so to speak. Which means that what it does is it helps you focus on the fact that not only is your spiritual part of your life godly, but every part of your life is focused on Hashem. Because it all comes through Hashem. So this is also why, as we can see, the flow of the Aseres Hadibros. So also it gives you a whole perspective, you want to say, on the honoring of the parents, of how incredibly important it is in our service to Hashem directly. Just want to see if I'm sure I've missed something. Also, as the Alshech says, just on the bottom paragraph, he says, don't honor them because they brought you into this world, to have pleasure from this world. Why should you honor them? Because through them you have eternity. You live forever, so to speak. This is the world to come. And that's what he says. This is the real honor of your parents, when you realize what they've given you. So it's actually tremendous in a sense, but the honor that you give them, and we'll see soon how it flows afterwards, is in the physical things. You support them with money, with everything, as it says. But why? Because what have they given you? They've given you the life of eternity. They've given you such a gift. So it's actually quite a beautiful thing. Okay, that's number three. Now, let's go to number four. We didn't do number four. I wrote down which ones, but I don't know where my paper is, of course. But okay, number four. So this is Ebenezer. We're just going to do one line from the Ebenezer, which I didn't underline. I should have. But he says that, okay, I'll just do the first line also. He says interesting thing, and we're going to develop this later more. Kfar Iskarti, I've already mentioned, because the Eben Ezra gave an introduction. Ki b'chamisha dvarim harishaynam zachar Hashem. That the first five of the Aseres HaDibrais, we have Hashem's name mentioned. Visham im kulam Hashem alikecha, right? All of them have Hashem alikecha with them. But in the rest of them, we'll see soon, the next five will not have God's name mentioned. That we're going to get to soon. I want to go down to the second to bottom line. It says, Va'amar, this is number four, so it's the second sheet. Al ha'adama, right, in this one, right, then it says, Al ha'adama, ki ka'asher yishmeru yisrol zayis ha'mitzvah, very beautiful thing that Eben Ezra tells us, la yiglu mimena. Another reward, and it says like a direct consequence, it's a very beautiful thing. If we keep, and obviously this is what they were lacking a little bit, the mitzvah of kibbutz of va'im, we will keep the land of Israel as ours. A very interesting thing. And this is the connection the pasuk puts in. Why? Again, it's the idea of the eternity. We are so connected to, as we know, we always say, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and it's Torah Yisrael, right? It's one thing. So when we disconnect from any part, then we become disconnected. That's like the automatic consequence, so to speak, the automatic reaction. So when we connect ourselves to Hashem, thereby, as we say, for sure, honoring our parents, and then we retain our connection to Eretz Yisrael forever, and we do not go into exile. That's what the Eben Ezra tells us. This is one of the that says clearly in the pasuk. Okay, let's go now to number five. I mean, there's so many beautiful things. Number five. Number five is the Ramban. I know it's a little bit long, but let's see how he explains. Also, did we do number five? Because I know we skipped one. No. Okay, it's good. Okay, Hine Hishlim. He says now he completes. Kol masha anu chayovin b'divrei habayrei b'atzmayu b'chvaydai. In what we are commanded, what we are responsible, in how we should relate to our Creator, all of the different mitzvahs to do with us and Hashem, Himself in His glory. V'chazar letzavei seisonu b'inyonei hanevraim. Now he's going to shift and tell us, command us how we're supposed to behave to other creations. V'hischil min ha'av. So this Ramban is a little bit confusing in the sense that the Ramban seems to be saying two contradictory things. I'll tell you now quickly orally something. According to the Ramban, kibbud of the aim is a little bit of both, as we said already. So it has an element between man and man, and it has an element between man and Hashem. So here first, and even though it's on the first five, he seems to be implying that this has to do with how we treat other human beings. Because look at what he says. V'hischil min ha'av, because he's beginning the commandments about how we relate to another person with how we relate to our parents. Shehu l'tol daisav ki'inyan bayrei mishtatef b'yitzira. Because a father is to his children like the Creator involved in his creation. So it's a bridge. That's what it is. You can see it straight away. This is, in a sense, the physical model that we have of Hashem in this world, if you want to say. So how we treat our parents, and this comes through with all of them, is actually a reflection of our relationship to Hashem. That's really, it's an amazing thing. It's not possible to separate them. That's what it says. Okay, let's see how he says. He goes on and he says, Ki Hashem Avinu Harishon, because God is our first father. Hamaylidos Avinu Achrein, and our the one that gives birth is our last father, so to speak, if you want to say. V'lekach Amar b'Mishneh Torah. That's why it says in Chumash Devarim, Ka'asher Tzivi Sicha B'Chvaydi. Just like I have commanded you to honor me, Kein Anoichi Mitzavcha B'Chvayd Hamishtatef Imi. So I command you to honor the one who is a partner with me, b'yitzira secha, informing you. And who is that? Those are your parents. And as he says, very interesting, the Ramban tells us, it's very short, it just tells us that you should honor, but it doesn't tell us how. What is involved in the honor? So the truth is, the rabbis do expound, obviously, but in the Torah, where do we know how? So the Ramban says something beautiful. He says, "Shehu nilmad min hakavayt hanemar lemaila the Av Harishon Yisbarech. Since we are now realizing why do we honor our parents, because they are, like, let's say, the representative of Hashem in our life, so to speak, if you want to say, they're continuing what Hashem is doing. So how do we know how to honor them? The way we're commanded to honor Hashem is exactly the way we have to honor our parents. And he says, you can see it from the Aseres HaDibros. Sheyoideboy, Shehu Aviv, the first thing, you have to say he's your father. Anoichi Hashem Elikecha, I am Hashem, your God, right? You have to recognize that Hashem is your God. You have to recognize that they are your parents. Now we think, of course we recognize, but we understand what that means. It's much deeper than that. It's a real deep recognition and identification. It's, as we say, this unity when we talk about Anoichi, this oneness. They are our parents, we are their children. You know, that's an amazing thing. The same way as Anoichi Hashem Elikecha. As he says, V'lo yachpar bay, leimar al adam achar shu aviv. And do not deny and say somebody else is my parent. They are our parents, as we say. V'lo ya'avdenu kiven liyirushasai. And don't serve them like a child serves them because they're waiting for the inheritance. Mm-hmm. No. As we say, we serve God lishma, for the sake of Hashem. We serve our parents just because they're our parents. Or for some other reason that we're waiting for them, right? Some benefit that we're hoping to get. The lo yisa shem aviv. And also, just like you don't desecrate the name of Hashem, you don't desecrate the name of your parents. V'yishba b'chaye aviv l'shav l'shakar, and never swear in your parents' name falsely. It's quite amazing how the Ramban says it. It gives it a whole, like, it's quite, yeah, it's wow. As we can see, it's a whole different level. V'yichnesu b'chlal ha'kavei dvarim acherim. And of course, there are other things that are also included in honor. Ki b'chol kvaydai nitztavinu, because in all of the honor we have been commanded. U'mefarashim heim b'divrei Rabbi Seinu, and they've been explained, and as the Ramban points out, if you look into the Gemara and then into Shulchan Aruch afterwards, you'll find u'kfar amru shehukash kvaydai l'kvayd hamakim. That what do? We actually juxtapose, we put together the honor of our parent to the honor of Hashem. And that's what we have, that's our best guide, so to speak. That's how we model it. U'kasher ha-mitzvah ha-zayis hi b'tachtainim. And just like this mitzvah is down here, ke-nosan schara, it's, the reward is given, ba'arichus yomim be'eretz asher yiten lanu. Long life in the land that Hashem has given us. And as we say, so there's two ways of explaining it. Either it could just simply be physical life in Eretz Yisrael, and long, you know, good years there. Or as we said, it also refers to L'man yarichan yamechav al ha'adama yavtiach ki b'mitzvah hazay siyu kol yimayseinu aruchim. So first of all, our days will be very long. Ki yimala Hashem yameinu ba'ilam hazeh. So the Ramban does say, it's referring to simple physical long life. V'yiyu aruchim ba'ilam haba. But more than that, it will be long in the life of eternity, in the life of the world to come. Shekulay aruch. That's the true world, which is forever. V'tiyeh yeshivaseinu la'ad. Look how beautiful. That our living will be forever. Al ha'adama ha'toiva sheyiten lanu. On the land, the good land that Hashem has given us. U'b'mishne teiren en devarim perish l'man yarichon yamecha u'l'man yitav l'ch al ha'adama. So you see, according to Ramban, there are two promises. One is the promise of the world to come, but one is the promise of long life in your land, in this world. So it's actually a very beautiful mitzvah in a sense, as we can see. I mean, obviously the reason, well, not reason, but one of the things we can sometimes say, not always, but sometimes we can say that the reward is so great, the mitzvah is not an easy mitzvah, as we know. And that's really what it's implying. This is not an easy mitzvah, nobody's saying, but it's an incredibly important mitzvah, and it has incredibly, such, how do you say it, such strong effects, if you want to say. Okay, let's see number six. Number six, I think we didn't do number six. We did a Bala term, I think, on the next page, number nine. Okay, it says, Kaved es avicha v'esimecha, samach kaved av v'eim l'shabbos. Again, he's talking about the fact that it's close to Shabbos. Leimer l'cha k'shem shechayiv l'chabed es ha-shabbos, kachayev l'chabed avei v'imai. Very interesting. So a lot of times we look at it that the other way around. We say, you know, that if a parent tells you not to keep Shabbos, it's true. You don't listen to the parent, right? That's one of the reasons why it's near Shabbos. Because first comes Shabbos, then comes honoring parents. Because parents cannot tell you to go against what Hashem says, right? They are also obligated to listen to Hashem. But here he's saying it the other way around, which is interesting. That just like we know, and all of us know it's important to honor Shabbos, just the same way, it's important to honor our parents. Very interesting. So it has the same weight, if you want to say. It's not less important, less valuable. Let's see the Kli Yakar, because even though it's similar, but he has such a beautiful language here, number 7. Let's see how the Kli Yakar says. Kabed es avicha ve'asimecha. He says, b'mitzvah zu chasam chamesh dibris rishaynes. Right? So with this mitzvah, we are sealing, we're concluding the first 5 of the Aseres HaDibris, ha-medabrim b'chavit ha-makim, which talk about the honor that we have to Hashem, Baruch Hu. Ki mitam zen nemar b'kulam Hashem alikecha, v'lai hiskir Hashem b'chol hei dibris achreynes. Ha-medabrim b'dvarim shebein adam l'chaveray. That's why, as we said, in these first 5, every one of them, we have Hashem's name mentioned. They are not mentioned in the second 5 because those are talking between man and man. But Kabeh Desavicha does mention Hashem's name. It obviously is in the first 5. And then he says like this, U'mitzvahs kibud avaim, afal pi, shehu bein adam l'chavei, right? So, as he says, even though it is between man and man, we're talking about 2 human beings, a child and a parent, they're both humans. Nevertheless, as he says, Mikol makay mitzvah zu naigas gam b'chaveit ha-makim baruch hu. This mitzvah also affects, and it's part of our honor of Hashem. Lefi, because sheshloisha shutfim ba'adam, because there's 3 partners in the creation of a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'avi ve'imai Hashem, and the father and the mother. Ve'im tichbada ve'ein, and if you honor your father and your mother, ba'avur shemehem noitzar ha'chaymer v'aguf, ha'kole v'havola. It's interesting. So you honor your parents. Why? Because what did they give you? They gave us our body, our physical being. And what do we know about our body? It lasts for a few years. It goes very fast. It's not an eternal thing. And we know it's weak. We know what it is. It's got a lot of weaknesses, but we still honor our parents because they gave us this. So the Kli Yakar says, if you will honor your parents for giving you your physical self, then what will happen is Kal v'chaymer ben b'nai shel kal v'chaymer. It's a very beautiful language. So we know what kal v'chaymer means, how much more so. The child or grandchild of how much more so. So he says, how much more so, how much more so, how much more so. That will bring home to us, she'techabed es avicha shebashamayim, that we will honor our Father in heaven. Why? Asher nasam b'cha neshama, who gave us the soul, ha'chelek ha'me'ula, the great part of ourselves, the special, the unique, the special part of ourselves, hakayam lanetzach, that lives forever. So it is interesting, and this is the way we do it. You see how the Torah is very practical? The way we come to honor Hashem is through honoring our parents. And when we honor our parents, we will honor Hashem. It's guaranteed. It's a direct connection, as he says. That's what will happen. So it's quite a magnificent thing. And he brings, and we're not going to do the next paragraph, but he brings a very beautiful thing that the Gemara tells us, that at the time that a person honors their father and their mother, Hashem says, I consider it as if I dwell amongst you. It's a very interesting thing. And there's a whole discussion, what is dwelling amongst you have to do with honoring parents? So it comes from this idea, because why? You honor your parents because they are the partners in your creation, but Hashem is the third partner. So he will also live, he will also be there. And what that means is such a beautiful thing, that honoring your parents brings Hashem into your life. And it's a very, very beautiful thing, which means Hashem into your life, as he says, dar, in dwelling in a permanent way, where he literally dwells with you. And hopefully, what we hope is in a revealed way, that we can feel his presence. And the best way to do it is through honoring our parents. That's what he says.
And you also, say the other way around, if you don't do it, you don't get it.
Yes, so that's what the seems, that's what it's implying, Bolton. That is, oh, it's like
a
link.
New generation, they don't respect it.
Well, it's a problem, so that's why they need to learn a little bit more about this, right, Leah? But it all comes from, you know what, Leah, comes both ways. Because the truth is, and we see it at the end, we'll see, without Hashem, it's impossible to do any of the Aseres HaDibros properly. That's what we're going to see. Even they say, even have they talk about having a civilized country, not murdering and not stealing and not adultery, it doesn't work. It goes together. If there's no God, there's nothing else. So it's the same thing. If there's no Hashem, there's no honoring parents. No honoring parents, no Hashem. It all goes together.
But it's for the world to come, for the world, Bichlal. In general.
In general, not just for the Jewish people, yes, for everybody, for civilization, for humankind. It doesn't work, impossible. People will think you can make that separation, it does, and we see it doesn't work. You can see it, it just doesn't go. So it's, yeah. Okay, well, we'll get to that, yes, sure.
I may be wrong, but didn't the previous generation, you know, before the war, there was a lot of kibbutz avaim, and Hashem should have dwelt. They suffered so much.
I know this is always
the big. We can't answer these questions.
I know. It is a big question. I know. Yes. the questions.
The explanation will come later.
Daisy emerged Hashem soon. I just want to share one more thing. He says a very, very beautiful thing. He says like this, that because when we make right, we honor our parents, and then Hashem, as we're talking about, Hashem dwells amongst us. And he says a beautiful thing, that's why, because Hashem, so to speak, dwells amongst us, that's why it says, Arichas Yamin. Because where do we have long life? Because it says, Atem hadveikim b'Hashem aleikeichem, chayim kulchem hayayim. Those of us who cleave to God are the ones who are alive. Because in God's presence is life, as we say. Life is connected to God. A disconnect from God is a disconnect from life. And it can be explained in many, many ways, as we understand. But as he says here, so therefore, honoring your parents, which is directly honoring Hashem, will bring God as part of your life, and therefore you will be truly alive. And what that could even simply mean is that we will have true life, complete life. Our life will be balanced. We will have spiritual and physical lives that are wholesome, that are complete. In other words, we won't be living just in one sphere alone. And this is the beauty of this, of one of the Aseres HaDibros. This is truly in both. It's quite an incredible one. So in a sense, it's one of the most powerful ones. I'll just show a little bit of number 8. This is from the Rambam. This, as we said, this is a little bit of halacha, but just the Rambam always says beautiful how he explains what the mitzvah. So quickly, Kabeit, it's the bottom, number 8. I'll read a little bit of it. Kibud of a mitzvah ase gedoyla. Look how he says. It's a big one of the positive commandments. Shakal oisa hakasav b'chvaydai. The pasuk actually weighs it, which means it gives us the same importance and the same weight as the honor of Hashem. Kederech sheziva al kavayt shmai hagadol, kach tziva al kvaydam. The same way we're commanded to honor him, we're commanded to have honor of our parents. Eizu kavayt, what is honor? So he gives a few examples. Maichel, to feed them. Umashke, to give them to drink. Malbish, to give them clothing. Umechase, Mishel ha'av, that's on the part of the father. V'im ein mamayn la'av. V'yesh mamayn la'ben. What happens if the father doesn't have money and the son has money? Kaifin aysay v'zan aviv v'imay. So interesting thing that he is actually forced to support his parents. Mashehu yachal, as much as he is able. It's very interesting. And he says, Maitzi u'machnes, he brings, he takes out. In other words, he does everything he needs to for them. U'mishamsha, he serves them. B'shar ha'dvarim, shahashamoshim, mishamshim bahen es harav. The same way that you serve your master or a rav, could be either somebody who's your teacher or a rav, a master in this context. That's how you should look at your parents. It's interesting, because as we realize, when we're talking about the honor of our parents, it really comes, we think of children, you know, have to have honor, but really it's when we're older, because that's when they need us, so to speak, and that's when we can serve them truly, not they're not serving us anymore. And that's the way we're meant to do it. We're meant to literally serve them as you serve a master. And as he says, a beautiful thing, and the way you honor them also is, you stand in front of Kederach, Shehu Aymed Mpnei Rabba, you should stand up before them just like you stand up before your teacher. And he says I just read you one more interesting thing. Va'av Shahaya Talmud Binai, Ein Ha'av Aymed Mpnei HaBen. Let's just say that the son becomes the teacher of the parent. Could happen, right? The son knows more than the parent. A parent does not stand up for his son. not supposed to. But a son has to stand up for their parents, even if he's the parents' teacher. Because honoring the parents comes first. That's a very important thing. Okay, we'll stop. That's, you know, the halacha is that you can, that's its own many, many, many shiurim. Let's see number, go to the next page. We did number 9. Just want to do a little bit number 10, this Sfarnu. I hope, again, like I say, it is a little bit of repetition, but it's very beautiful to see all the different ways. I just want to see if this one has anything really different in it. Okay, so really the Sfarnu is really saying the same thing, that through Kibud Av V'Em you are able to get Olam Haba. Okay, and also you shouldn't rebel, so to speak, against him, not in your thoughts, not in your speech, and not in your actions. And you should honor them. And he is your God, your creator, and your father, the one who formed you in this world. Okay, I just want to show you, let's see number 11, the Or HaChaim. So let's see what he says, just very short. The Or HaChaim tells us, Lema'an yarichun, because like it says, in order that you should have long days, sounds like it is a reward. So he says, Amar ya'arichun, shemashma me'atzmam, v'loy amar a'arich yamecha. So he says, if you notice the way it says it, it doesn't say, if you will do Kibud Av V'Em, I will lengthen your days, like a reward. Rather, he says that it's like a direct consequence. It will happen. That if you honor your parents, your days will be lengthened automatically. So he says, Ulai she'yir tzalaymar ki mitzvah zu, skula sahi arichas yamim, milvad schara mehashem. So he says it could be, what he's telling us is like a skula. Skula means almost like a direct consequence. You honor your parents, automatically you'll have long life, and this is not the reward from Hashem. There's another reward that's separate. We don't know what that is, besides the reward that Hashem will give you for honoring your parents. It's a very beautiful thing. He says, Ki yesh mitzvah yesh bahem skulais niflais milvad schar asher kava lahem Hashem. Because there are certain mitzvahs that have amazing, and a skul is a hard word to translate, but in other words, they bring certain things, like they automatically bring certain blessings besides the reward that Hashem designates for them. And the straight, direct thing that this brings is long life. That's what he says. Whatever you want to interpret that. And he says, this one Hashem revealed to us. Not all of them, not every mitzvah do we know what it actually accomplishes, so to speak. But with this mitzvah, the Torah chooses to tell us. Okay, that was number 11. I just want to show you on your sheets, there was a few beautiful ones. This is really in English, you can see. There's just some beautiful, I think I have the right one. Here's another one. Okay, good. Let me see. Oh, no, this is for you here. Let's see. So there was two sheets with this text. I'm looking text 5. I'll share with you. Okay, so just there's some beautiful ones. He says over here that Reb Meir Simcha of Dvinsk. Okay, very beautiful. So what did he say? The Meshech Chachma, he says, this is just a translation we could read. He says, all of the received traditions come from Har Sinai. They were received by Moshe and handed down to generation after generation without a single break in tradition. Remember, we mentioned this. Therefore, the generation that does not respect its parents and that mocks the received traditions will irreparably harm the Jewish tradition. Therefore, it is obvious that the command to honor parents is associated with the command to honor Hashem and the Torah in general. In other words, as we mentioned last week, this is the mitzvah that ensures the tradition passing from generation to generation. That's what it means. Parent, child, and that's how Torah works. As we know, this is one of the biggest foundations of the existence of Torah, is the fact that we pass it down generation to generation. Okay, then he goes on and he says, what exactly are the, there's very beautiful different things from the different Gemaras, what are the obligations? So giving food and drink, dressing and covering, that's what the Rambam says, escorting in and out, washing his face, feet and hands. So these are all different things that we are meant to do. What exactly is revering? Because there's an honoring, and there's also, there's in a different pasuk that tells us that you actually have to revere your parents, not sitting in his place, not speaking in his place, and not contradicting his words. And what exactly is honoring? Giving food and drink, dressing and covering, and all of that. Okay, so now there are many, many, many halachas of honoring and revering parents. But let's just see, I see some of this is double. I want to just see, go on to the next page, text 11. Okay, so these are the famous stories that we have. You know, the famous story of Dhamma ben Nissina. He wasn't Jewish, right? And he, as he said, that once the sages wanted to buy certain merchandise from him at a price which would give him a profit of 600,000 gold dinars, but the key to the chest was under his father's pillow. He was sleeping, so he didn't reward him. And we know Hashem rewarded Dhamma, and a red cow was born to him, and he obviously was paid much, much more than that. Okay, so that was just one of the stories of the extent of the honor of the parents. And as the Gemara tells us, if we learn this from somebody who is not Jewish, how much more we should be keeping it, as we say. And also, the feha, this is the other side. This is all, again, as we know, this all this discussion about what happens if there is abuse, and okay, that's obviously all halachic, needs to be asked for a rav. But just as we can see in the Gemara, as it says, Rav Dimi came to Israel and says, once Dhamma ben Nissina was dressed in a golden silk coat and was sitting amongst the nobles of Rome. His mother came, ripped it off him, hit him on his head, spat in his face, yet he did not rebuke her. And Rabbi Abahu says, my son Avimi is a good example of someone who fulfilled the mitzvah of honoring parents. What did he do? He had five ordained sons when his father was living. Even so, when Rabbi Abahu visited, Avimi himself would run and open the door, calling out, yes, yes, until he got to the door. One day, Rabbi Abahu told Avimi, get me water to drink. When Avimi brought the water back, his father was asleep. Avimi bent over and waited for him to awake. So he waited until he could give his father the drink, until he would wake up from his sleep. Just in all these stories that the Gemara brings, just showing us the extent of how far the mitzvah can go. The beautiful story of Rabbi Tarfon, I know it's one of my favorite ones. Again, Rabbi Tarfon was also incredibly, incredibly special, but look what it says. It says like this. Rabbi Tarfon had a mother who he treated with such respect that whenever she wanted to climb into bed, he would bend down and she would climb on him into it. And whenever she descended from bed, she would descend on him to reach the floor. And it sounds like he was praising himself, but obviously it could even be in the context of teaching to his students of the extent of how far you should go when you're honoring your parents. But look what it said. The rabbis told him, you have not yet reached half the honor one can bestow upon parents. Has your mother ever thrown a bag of money into the sea in your presence and you did not shame her? Whenever Rabbi Yosef heard the footsteps of his mother, he will say, I will stand before the divine presence which is approaching. So that really, in a nutshell, that last line shows, as we said, the parent represents in your life what Hashem is. So I stand before the divine presence. So if we have that whole attitude, then it all comes along with the level of honor, as we say. That is okay. So this is only a very small touch, as we say, of the mitzvah. There's much, much more, and of course, I'm just going to what I've forgotten. But okay, I think we're going to go on anyways to the next ones. Okay. Okay, what I'd like to do now is we're going to go to the next. So you have your Chumash sheets in front of you, right? Because what I'd like to see is, there's a lot more, but I just want to see the next few psukim. Okay, I can find my own, I don't know, all right. Okay, so I'll tell you which page it's on. Yes, let's find it here. This is yours, I'll give it right back. Me and my organization, I'm sure I have it here, but okay. So we are going to page 239. Go page 239, and let's see how we go to the next, ones of the Aseres HaDibros.
You got a copy.
I do somewhere. No, it's okay. I'm good. It's not so much here. Okay, we could share. Here we go. Okay, so he says like this. This is interesting because this is all in Pasuk 13. We have so many. No, it's okay. I have it somewhere. I just don't know where. But you sure? Okay. So he says like this. Now we're going to the second half, as we say. I'll show you a picture soon. The last five. Okay, and interestingly enough, the last five, most of them are in one Pasuk. Okay, four of them are. Let's see. Lo yisirtzach, the famous. Lo yisirtzach, you shall not kill. Lo yisinaf, you shall not commit adultery. Lo yisignav, and literally they translate, you shall not steal. We'll see. According to Rashi, it is kidnapping. According to some of Hershim, it is stealing. But anyways, Rashi says not to kidnap, which means not to steal another human being. Lo yisaneh bere'acha eid shaker, you shall not be a false witness against your fellow. Just want to do one more pasuk. actually two, yeah, the last one. Loi sachmeid beis re'echa, you shall not covet your fellow's house. Loi sachmeid eishes re'echa, you shall not covet the wife of your friend. V'avda, his servant, v'amasa, his maidservant, v'shoirai, right, his ox, v'chamayrei, his donkey, v'chol asher l're'echa, and anything that belongs to your friend. Re'echa is the last word of the Aseres HaDibros. It's funny, when you get to this five, you think, oh, this is like so, of course, obvious. We don't do any of these things. We don't feel such a connection in a sense. And we almost feel like Hashem is talking down to us. Like, what does he think? We're planning on killing. We're planning on kidnapping. Hopefully none of us engage in this type of behavior. But let's see what it really means. And perhaps, unfortunately, sometimes we're not so, you know, not so distant as we hopefully think we are. Okay, so let's just first see Rashi, and then we'll see what it really means. But just fascinatingly enough, if you count up, I think the words on this side, it's 26 words, much less than on the other side of the five. But 26 is the name of Hashem Havaya, the Yudke Vavke. Interestingly enough, the Mefarshim tell us that these five, although they don't have Hashem's name written there, and they're between man and man, and they seem to be so, as we say, normal behavior, if you want to say that we expect from ourselves, nevertheless, as we said, two things. First of all, if God is not the motivation, you're not going to stay away. It's not going to work, that's for sure. Not only that, but when we keep these five Aseres HaDibros, we are just as close to God as the first five, and we shouldn't think of it in any different way. So our relationships with another human being is as much a relationship to God as the first five are. And that's a very Jewish view. But that what that means is we have to not forget, sometimes people nowadays do it the other extreme, and they think that the main thing, which it's important, obviously, our relationship with another human being, but it goes together. So we have to have both. The first five and the second five. You can't have the second five without the first five. First five doesn't go. It's all one package deal, one set of luchos, one God giving us all of them. Okay, so it goes together. So let's see what there's they're all about.
People saying it's okay to be just, I'm a good
person. I'm a good person. But it doesn't work. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't work. As we can see, yeah, we want to be, everybody's trying their best.
Yeah, but
really yeah, as we say, it's a half a person. Okay, like you say, could we walk on one leg? You get quite tired if you'd have to hop. It's not even, the truth is, I want to tell you the truth is, when I, it's not even a joke, because the Ramban, we'll see it, not this week, in two weeks time, in Mirtz Hashem, or I don't know if Levakel will do this maybe, but it's interesting because it says that the Aseres HaDibros, five and five, are literally like the two hands, which is like the, it's like the body. It's a balance. We're balanced people because we have two sides, right? We can't be on a half. So we have to view the Aseres HaDibros in exactly the same way. It's two sides of one whole, and it only works together. It's the only way it works. So it's an interesting thing. Okay, let's see how we'll see what it's about according to Rashi, and then we'll go more into depth. Okay, so let's see what Rashi says. So Rashi doesn't say anything on the first one, Lois Sertzach, but he says, Lois Sinaf is a new if elabashis ish. According to Rashi, when we talk about adultery, it refers to a married woman. Okay, so not everybody agrees, but I'm just, because according to some people, this is just generally about proper relationships, not having, if you want to say, there are many things that come under the category of immoral relationships, whether it be if somebody's not married or for whatever it may be. Let's just see. Okay, let's go to Lois Signaif. He says, you shall not steal. Okay, and Rashi's opinion, Begoinev nefashay sakasav medaber, the verse speaks of one who kidnaps people. Now, how do you know it's talking about only kidnapping people and not just generally not stealing? The truth is, not stealing is also a command in the Torah. We have it in Chumash Vayikra, but nevertheless, Rashi says, because he says, in Vayikra it says, Lois Signavu, right, Begoinev mam, and that's speaks about money, you shall not steal money. But he says on page 240, how do you know maybe this one is talking about stealing money, and maybe the one later on is talking about kidnapping people? So he says, because you can learn from the context. Now what's the context? Let's see. Ma loy sirtzach loy sinach. This comes into the Ten Commandments, right? What comes just before? Don't steal, right? Don't commit adultery. What do we know? What's the punishment for all of that? The punishment for that is that you will be put to death, right? There's a death penalty. So obviously this is also talking about something that warrants a death penalty. And just stealing doesn't warrant a death penalty in Torah. But kidnapping can. Okay, obviously there's a lot involved in it. Has to kidnap, has to be sold again, damn, whatever. But still, just the concept, that's the only one. So therefore, according to Rashi, this is talking only about kidnap, not just generally about stealing. You see, this is also one that's that you can be killed by the Beis Din. Okay, let's see. That's all Rashi. That's the only thing that Rashi has for us over here. But let's see other mefarshim. So I have...
Exactly right.
Now. Okay. Pass these down. Let's see what's here. Now we're going to see a lot of the different mefarshim of this one. Okay, let's see. First, we'll start with number one. There's a lot of beautiful things, but we'll just go in order and we'll get a few beautiful things. So what's Leisertz? Not to kill. Okay, sounds very... So look what the Eben Ezra, the number one, page one, and it's the number one. Leisertz. So he says, first of all, Leisertzach means biyadecha, right? You shouldn't murder, simply. Not murder with your hands, commit murder. He says, no, but not only that, ay bilshaynecha, with your mouth. How can you kill with your mouth? Laha'id alav sheker lahamisai. If you testify falsely against somebody, and then because of that they are put to death, well, you have committed murder. Now it gets even help. A little bit more close to home. Because hopefully we don't, you know, we don't testify falsely when we know a person can be put to death. But here, I don't know. Rachil, what's rechilus? Unfortunately, it's slander. That's killing a person's reputation. If you kill a person's reputation, you're murdering them. As he says, Oy loses eitzara bizadain sheteida sheyehareg. If you give negative bad advice on purpose to somebody, where they that can lead to their death. Now this is different. I mean, hopefully, again, we none of us will intentionally do that. Obviously, we don't want to hurt anybody, and we will not do that. But we have to be very careful, obviously, in the ramifications of what it can lead to. This can be, it's scary to say. Whether it be psychologically, sometimes people have issues, sometimes people need advice. There are certain things that you can give advice that unfortunately, okay, obviously a person doesn't intend bad is not included, but still have to be extra careful. If this is going to lead to a person afterwards dying because of your advice, well, that could be a big problem. So we have to be very careful with, you see, we see in everything, in our speech, it's not just the murder, as we say literally with our hands. He says, "Oy shenigla lechasayid shetuchal hatzilai min hamaves im tegluhulai v'im loy nigalis atok meiretzeach." If you know something, if you know a secret, that if you will reveal it, it will save a person's life, and you do not reveal it, you are also considered responsible for his life. So this is actually interesting because here, like when you talk about, like, sometimes it might be putting yourself in danger. So this is a little bit, like, obviously, halachically, you'd have to find out. But it's a very scary thing. Sometimes you know something about somebody. You're not sure, should I say, should I not say? If it's going to save his life, you have to say. And if you don't, even if you weren't the one that killed him, you're considered one of them that killed him. So it's your responsibility. So you see, it extends a little bit. It's not so simple. Not just yet, as we could say. Okay, I just want to see, the next one. Okay, he also says, Loisinaf is obviously, as Rashi says, it's to do with a married woman, but, I just want to see, okay, and as he says, yeah, let me just see something. Yeah, we'll go to number two now. Go to page number two, let's see number two. Also interesting, I know, also he says that this it says by many of the mefarshim, we'll see it inside, that committing adultery actually can lead to murder, because we do see that, because when you commit adultery, sometimes you can end up killing the husband because you want to get rid of the first husband. Or the other way around, sometimes you kill the husband in order to commit adultery. So And as we said before, killing doesn't mean necessarily directly killing, but causing that the husband should die and it's by somebody else, and that would, so that's why they come together. They come one right after the other. They're connected. And also, very interesting, it says it's also connected to idol worship, that adultery and idol worship are very connected. We're going to see the connection later. The truth is because the first five correspond to the second five across. Why? Because on a simple level, when you commit adultery, you are taking somebody else's wife. When you are serving idols, right, you are not serving your God. In other words, you're inviting somebody else in to the marriage between you and God. And this is obviously a thing. But also, a simple level, it says that when people commit adultery, and they saw it in the Chumash, we have the story of Midian, right? Remember when after the curses and the blessings, and he didn't succeed, and he brought all those girls in from Midian, and he caused the terrible adultery that happened. What was the reason? Because those girls were influencing the Jewish people to serve idols. And we do find that throughout history, that that's not necessarily adultery as we would call it, but forbidden relationships. In other words, having relationships with people, with, if you want to say, if you go into non-Jewish relationships, it all causes afterwards that you serve idols. In other words, it leads you astray from being serving Hashem. So all goes together in that way. Let's see number two. Number two is Loi Sa'aneh. That's also part of the Eben Ezra. And as we said, this is to do with not bearing a false witness, as he says. Right? So he says, I just want to read you one line. It just takes us into the Eben Ezra's life so beautifully. He says, Shonim rabbis chipasti belibi tam zois hamila. For many years, I was searching to understand the word. He couldn't translate. Eben Ezra likes, he's very much into the grammar, into the exact language, and I couldn't understand why this word was used. What does he mean, which word? So he says, Leimar eid shaker, v'loi amar eidus shaker. So in other words, it doesn't say that you are giving false testimony, rather, not to be a false witness. He thinks that it should have said false testimony, because that's what you're going to give. Why does it talk about a false witness? So he says, Lefidati ata. So now finally, after many years of thinking, I've come to the conclusion, ki hu medaber im eid shaker, ki ilu kosuv loy sa'ane im ata eid shaker. Do not bear it if you are a false witness. So it's a very interesting thing. So do not make yourself a false witness. It's not just the false. Very interesting what the difference is. Giving false testimony. Many times we can just say, oh, I just said that. But this makes you a false witness. That's much worse. In other words, your identity, right? So your identity. If you say false without, you are a false witness. That's much worse than just saying something once off. In other words, don't lessen in your mind. Don't rationalize it. What?
It's similar,
but it's not the same. Because sometimes we have a person can say, oh, I have to bear false witness. I have to say a false testimony. But I'm not a false witness. I would never be a false witness. I'm only for that moment. A false witness means that that's what I am, so you can repeat. You understand? It means that's how I identify myself. You're right, it's the same thing. But in a person's mind, we separate. Like a person might say, I'm not a murderer, I only murdered once, right? I have to, right? I was forced. I mean, you know, whatever. I'm not, whatever, you don't say it like that. But people would say, I don't rob, I just had to cheat a little bit here. Right? You don't think of yourself as a robber because you've cheated a little bit, right?
It's the deed.
This is the identity. So he's saying it's much stronger if you say aid shocker than saying an aidus, right?
It's the deed, not the person. Exactly. So I shouldn't tell the child you're a bad child.
That's right. You're right, Daisy. You're right. But here, sometimes, when it comes to ourselves, we shouldn't necessarily be so kind on ourselves sometimes, okay? Otherwise, as you said, okay, let's go to the Ramban, Leitzertzach. Okay, so let's see how the Ramban explains Leitzertzach. Now, we're not going to be able to do it. Okay, so in Mirza Hashem, so next week there will be somebody giving the shir. It's not going to be no shir. So I'm not sure if he'll continue or he'll do something else. I don't know. But otherwise we will continue when
He's
I come back.
To do it.